In the ebook price fixing case, consumers are slated to share in a pot of damages that will keep them reading and reading. In Denise Coates' courtroom, though, it's read 'em and weep for Apple's attorneys as the judge's rulings continue to confound them. She has even gone so far as to scold Apple for its unrepentant ways. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. The news of the week in book publishing remains largely the story of a single court case. And Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, joins me with the latest. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, you know, you are the author of The Battle of 999, How Apple, Amazon, and the Big Six Publishers Changed the Ebook Business Overnight. At last we looked, it was a bestseller in all the various ebook stores. And so you're the man to turn to for the news of what's going on in Denise Coates' courtroom. But before we do, let's remind people that sadly summer is closing and fall is coming. So what does that mean in the book business?
Well, that means that the fall season is upon us. And fall is, of course, the big season for big books from publishers, big and small, and of course, it's the fall regional trade show season. So in Monday's issue, we're going to have a roundup of the upcoming regional trade shows. You know, the big shows always tend to dominate our thoughts. That's the BEAs and the Frankfurts. But it's these indie shows like the New Atlantic Independent Bookseller Association and the Pacific Northwest Bookseller Association meetings. These really help put a finger on the pulse of the book business. So as you know, summer does sadly wind down, the fall season gets going. You can get ready by checking out our preview of the fall regionals in Monday's issue.
Well, we'll be sure to do that. But meanwhile, in that courtroom we've been talking about, just about every week now, there have been some developments, and you're the man to turn to tell us all about them.
Yeah, so tucked in the news of Apple's hearing last week, which we'll talk more about in a bit, we learned that the states and the consumer class are actually preparing to move on distributing the $166 million that publishers have agreed to pay to settle ebook pricing charges. On the website today, I have a brief but interesting report in which I spoke to representatives from Rust Consulting, the firm that's retained to administer the settlement fund, and they have confirmed that over 23 million customers, that's 23,073,840 to be exact, customers of Amazon, Apple, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Google, and Sony have been directly noticed via email or by postcard that they're going to participate in the settlement. So an eligible consumer is anyone who bought an ebook between April of 2010 and May of 2012, and there's apparently over 23 million of those. Now, it's important to note that the figure that I just quoted there, the 23 million number, represents consumer accounts and not individual consumers, because some consumers, like I do, have accounts with multiple retailers, or they'll have multiple accounts at a single retailer. So we're not talking about 23 million unique consumers. We're talking about consumer accounts. What was also notable about those figures is that Russ told me that an additional 28,600 claims were filed by consumers. These were people who either didn't get noticed or had to file a claim form. Now, what's notable about this number is that Google and Sony customers were required to file claim forms to participate in the settlement because the automatic crediting feature wasn't available to them, you know, and that there were only 28,600 claim forms filed is kind of an example of just how small the market share is there for Google and Sony. Now, when it comes to market share, I was really hoping I would get a breakdown by retailer from Rust, because knowing which retailers the claims were being noticed through and paid through really would have offered the most solid assessment yet of what the ebook market shares were among the retailers during this period, you know, estimates of which have varied pretty wildly. They even varied among Apple's executives at the trial, with Eddie Q, Apple senior vice president, saying that they had about 25% of the ebook market, and Rob McDonald, Apple's director of the ebook store, putting it closer to between 17 and 20%. Alas, that information is not publicly available, so we won't have that number, at least not yet. Also noteworthy, 48,124 consumers opted to receive checks rather than credits. So that's a very small number. Just 48,000 out of over 23 million will be issued as checks. And only 229,000 notices were undeliverable. That's remarkable because that's less than 1% of the total number of consumers that were to be noticed. And Rust officials noted in their court records that thanks to the retailer cooperation and the digital unusual nature of this. This settlement is going to have an unprecedented rate of success in actually getting funds to consumers that are included, that are to be compensated for the alleged wrongdoing. And it's going to simply deposit that money right in their consumer accounts. There's no reason, no need for consumers to do anything at all. Now, we don't know exactly when all this money, all these credits are going to start flowing into consumer accounts, but we do think it's going to be fairly soon. In court last week, the lawyers for the states did say that they wanted to move forward, so keep an eye on your inbox.
Well, you know, thank you for that analysis, Andrew, and it's really interesting to see how this court case is providing a window into the book business at this very critical time. It's something without that court case we wouldn't have. It's remarkable. Well,
absolutely true.
Well, okay, so let's continue back to the courtroom then. So the judge has given Apple a rather aggressive schedule to determine its liability, and what's going on there?
So after we spoke last week, there was the hearing in Judge Coates' courtroom, and we learned that the parties later this week, actually just on Monday this week, we learned that the parties are actually going to be back in court on August 27th to talk more about the scope of the DOJ's proposed injunction. As you recall, that had generated a little bit of controversy, to say the least, and a little more on that in a moment. But at last Friday's hearing, Apple was dealt two fresh new setbacks. First, Judge Coates denied a stay of the proceedings pending Apple's appeal. And second, in a ruling that led to a pretty tense exchange with Apple lead counsel Oren Snyder, Judge Coates also denied Apple's proposed schedule for its damages trial and ordered the parties to finish discovery by the end of December 2013 and to have their summary judgment motions all fully briefed by the end of February 2014. And the damages trial is now on the calendar for May 2014. On the PW website, I have an article breaking down the finer points of the hearing and why Apple wanted 14 months to prepare. They wanted to do it in October rather than May. And basically, Snyder told the judge that Apple was going to fight collateral estoppel. That is, the degree to which Coates' finding translates to civil liability in the state and consumer class action cases. And also, Snyder said Apple was going to challenge class certification for the consumer class. He argued that the recent Supreme Court decision in the Walmart case indicated a sea change in class action cases, with questions of commonality now requiring rigorous analysis to determine injury. Thus, having bought an ebook doesn't automatically qualify anyone, he contends, to participate in the Consumer Damage Award. Snyder asserted that since Apple's entry into the ebook market lowered the prices of some ebooks, but it raised the prices of others, that its experts are entitled to more finely parse the data to determine a damages model that accurately reflects real injury to consumers. Trial by formula, he told the judge, is simply not allowed for class actions anymore. So, you know, not surprisingly, attorneys for the consumer class had a far different and swifter and simpler view of the case, and they kind of warned the judge of Apple's desire to create this alternate but-for model, that is to try and develop a model that would calculate the harm ebook consumers would have felt if Apple had not entered the market. So it remains to be seen how that's going to play out. But basically, Apple raised the specter of, you know, litigating a lot of these issues again in another trial. And, you know, barring a settlement between Apple and the states and the consumer classes, which could still happen, we're now headed for another trial in May of 2014. On Monday on the website, I'm going to have another piece on the developments in the Apple case. But here's my short and sweet take on it right now in a nutshell. I think Apple should probably settle.
Well, you know, that's pretty interesting legal advice there, Counselor. And I guess I have to ask you how likely you think it is that Apple will do that. I mean, here's a judge that keeps turning them down left and right and has told them they're unrepentant. Does this signal to them that they really ought to think the strategy over?
Well, you know, I think Apple's in a very difficult spot right now because they do have their appeal and they believe deeply that they did not break the law here. So, you know, with the DOJ injunction, the judge sent Apple and the DOJ lawyers out to confer a little more on what the scope of that punishment should be. And she indicated that, yes, you know, they were unrepentant and they hadn't showed signs of wanting to get this behind them. But really, they don't believe they've broken the law. So I don't know how much they're going to be able to sit down and negotiate on the scope of the injunction without damaging their collateral estoppel determination in the consumer class case, or without sort of, you know, hinting at liability for their appeal. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here. But at this point, I think Apple is probably just going to double down on its appeal and just try to drag the trial schedule out as long as possible and hope that the appeal process goes in their favor. And it very well could. We've seen a lot of key cases over the years, Ticini, for example, being one of them, that seemed like they were, you know, pretty much done and over with at the district court, that were overturned and wound up going all the way to the Supreme Court.
Well, fascinating stuff, and Andrew, we appreciate your analysis. Andrew Albanese is a senior writer for Publishers Weekly and the author of The Battle of 999, How Apple, Amazon, and the Big Six Publishers Changed the E-Book Business Overnight. It's available as a Kindle single and in all the other popular e-book stores. Andrew Albanese, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. Follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book. Thank you.